I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
On this episode of The Dad Experience, we have another great minisode of Dad TV. Adam and Jorge talk all about animated films and the animated films that are up for the Oscars this month. So join us, won't you, on this amazing journey that we like to call The Dad Experience.
Welcome again to The Dad Experience. Another day, another Dad TV episode. It's that time of the month. We're going to bring you a Dad TV episode. It's your host here, Adam, and we are here with Jorge de Moya. Jorge, how you doing?
I'm doing great today, Adam. How are you guys doing over there?
It's been a doozy. We are just weaning our oldest daughter, who is just a little bit over two, off of the pacifier. And she's had a few pacifiers, and every day we've been sending a new one to a new baby. The pacifier fairy's been taking them to the moon and then giving them to a new baby. And it's been all smooth sailing, and she's been excited every day. And then the last one came today at nap time, and we had no nap. And I just left my daughter. My wife is with my daughter right now, or she's up listening, and she was not having a pacifier, but we're standing our ground. We're going to try and get through it. It's one of the most heartbreaking things to hear, but we'll get through it and she'll be better for it as we move forward.
Of course, I remember those times with my 4 and my 3-year-old. We tried to have my 4 and 3-year-old, when they were weaning off of it a couple years ago, do it at the exact same time since they were so close in age. Big mistake. We definitely had to do one at a time. Because my son was definitely not ready. He was not happy about it. So he got a little bit of extra passy time. But soon after, he wanted to be like his big sister and ditched the pacifier a lot faster than she did. So that was a bonus.
Wow. That's good. Well, there'll be light at the end of the tunnel. I know it's only for a few days, and we'll have to persevere, and she'll never remember any of this, and we will, and that's what my wife and I keep talking about, but it's still hard to see him go through that and feel like it's like the only thing that matters, and the world's not going to continue to spin if she doesn't have that, but it'll be all right, and we'll keep moving.
Oh, that's right. It'll always work out.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're here for another Dad TV episode. You want to kind of jump in here and tell our audience what we're going to be talking about?
So it's February and the Oscars are coming up, and I'm a big, movie buff and movie fan. And yes, there's always controversy surrounding the Oscars, but luckily enough, when you're talking about with your kids and you're always with your kids and you're constantly seeing animated Disney, Nick Jr., that kind of content, there is some great animated movies with this year's Oscars. And I thought it'd be fun for us to talk a little bit about some of our favorite animated movies, also the ones that are being nominated this year. As people may know, we have Isle of Dogs, which is an unusual animated movie that is extremely well written, from Wes Anderson, is one of the nominations. The Incredibles 2, which was like a 10-year hiatus waiting for the sequel. One of the most anticipated sequels, I think, in animation history. There was also a foreign Japanese anime movie that was nominated. Pixar got another nomination with Ralph Breaks the Internet. And then also an unusual nomination, which was the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is my leading candidate to kind of take the whole thing. So I figured we could talk about that a little bit, and also some of our top, animated movies. What age are we thinking of taking our kids out to the theaters? Because some of these movies are great, man. They're very cinematic, very visually entertaining, and it's still fun to take them to the theaters, even though we're always talking about content at home and what you can see at your fingertips. So that's pretty much what I'm thinking we're going to delve in today. Adam, where do you want to start?
Well, I could tell you this. I have seen, out of all those movies, I have seen Ralph Wreck's Internet, and I'm going to tell you right now. So I'm going to go. Why don't we start with we'll kind of meld these together. Meld the Oscars with our favorites. You know, I almost put Ralph Wreck's the Internet as my number as one of my top three. I would say it's an honorable mention for me, if not one of the top three. And I think my top three are pretty classic standards. So I think it just needs a little more time. Like, you know how it takes a little while before your car becomes a vintage car. I think that's what I need with Ralph Wreck's Internet. I want to see how it stands against the test of time, like the three that I chose. So I kind of went that direction with the three I chose. But this was an honorable mention for me. And it was an honorable mention for me because I thought it was really well done. I didn't know how they were going to do this. You know, the first one was great. It was kind of a classic arcade idea. He took the Donkey Kong idea and integrated it, put a lot of adult dad, mom, parenting jokes in there that made it enjoyable for the parent. I did watch Ralph Breaks the Internet. Wasn't that what it's called? Or Ralph Wrecks the Internet?
Yeah.
Ralph Breaks the
Internet. Ralph Breaks the Internet, yeah.
I watched Ralph Wrecks. Wreck-It Ralph, sorry. That was the first one, right? Wreck-It Ralph?
That was the first one, yeah.
I saw that one. Pre-kids. That one came out, what, how many years? 5 years ago or so, maybe more?
I can't. Just about. I want to say 4 or 5.
Yeah, don't quote me on that, but it's in there. So my wife and I have been married, but our oldest is only 2. So I saw that one pre-kids. Thought it was a great movie. Thought the concept was awesome. Brought some nostalgia to me for the movie. But I'm going to tell you this. I thought the second one was better. I don't know if it's because now I have kids and I haven't seen the first one in a while. But and I don't want to spoil it. So if you listen to this, maybe fast forward 10, 15 seconds. The middle scene in that movie where, because Disney owns everything, was amazing. And the way that they handled it and even played jokes on themselves as Disney and everything they owned was awesome. And they even did some pre-internet stuff and they did some clever things with the nuisances of the internet that we all encounter every day with, clickbait and all those type of things. It's a great movie. It's a great family movie. My daughter loves it. Anytime you throw, I don't even want to say it, but let's just say that Frozen has been everywhere. And anytime you throw stuff like that in it, your kids are going to love it. I enjoyed getting that end of it. And maybe I think this one's better than the first one just because of all the other Disney things I'm experiencing now. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if I was the person voting, that would be my forefront runner of the Oscars. Don't think it's going to win. First of all, it's a sequel. I don't think sequels handle very well in the Oscars. I think they're looking for original work unless it's really amazing and stand on its own. Again, don't quote me. Haven't gone back on the animation nominations. But I don't think that a sequel can stand on its own as an original story and win, but it's got my vote. I kind of agree with you. I'd like to see the artsy one win if it isn't Wreck-It Ralph, like with the Wes Anderson one. Haven't seen it. Very intrigued by it. I will get to it. And I know it's done well. I'm sure it is. But I think that the superheroes, like you said, I think superheroes win out. Even I think it's almost like a sure bet when you're coming to animation, especially too. So I am thinking that's going to win, although I do think that the storyline and the creativity of Ralph Wreck's Internet is probably my favorite if I was voting.
Nice. I have to agree. I did see Ralph Breaks the Internet, and I thought the creativity, the writing, especially like you said, with all the things that they were talking about and touching on, whether it's clickbait and the Wi-Fi, and it was very now. And it very relatable to just even what we're doing here with the podcast and talking to everybody. It's such, you know, dad TV content oriented because everything's always at your fingertips, and that's included with the video game world. And I love that about Wreck-It Ralph and Ralph Breaks the Internet. But I do agree, sequels don't do really well when it comes to nominations. You would be when you said that. The sequel was better than the first one. That's funny you mentioned that because there's like a notorious list for movies out there that claim, you know, for the sequel to be better than the original. And it's like there's only a hand-picked few that out there that are, you know, given that kind of distinction. So I guess we're going to have to put Ralph Breaks the Internet up there with, you know, Terminator 2 and Godfather Part 2. As sequels that were better than the original. Yeah.
And believe it or not, and I don't agree with this one, there's people out there that put Back to the Future 2 on that one, that list, which I don't agree with.
That's a touchy one. I agree with you there. That's a touchy one. That's a little too close.
That's not on my list, but I've heard it on a lot of people's list. And I think it's been happening more as we get closer to the mm-hmm. technology. So maybe it's withstanding the time a little bit better than you know, Back to the Future with some of the younger kids. They like to see you go forward yeah. rather than backwards. And that might be the case, but definitely not in my book. I always thought the first and the third were the best two. And, you know, the first was the best. Then I really liked the third, and then I liked the second. Now it's a toss up between two and three, but it's one of those ones that I've seen it on people's lists is better than the original. And I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it.
You're not going to do it. I love it. You're not going to hit the clickbait on that one.
No, they're gonna not sidetrack me into something else and earn some dollar signs from me, man. But you know, I think I definitely been seeing Isle of Dog, and you know, I haven't seen it, so it might be something that you and I can talk about after I see it. But you've seen it, and it looks interesting, but I keep avoiding it just because when I'm not with my kids, I'm not a big animated person, and I don't think my kid is going to like Isle of the Dog, and maybe they shouldn't even watch it because I haven't read much about it.
No, I would say that is definitely the kids have gone to sleep and you're kind of interested in the movie kind of thing. It's brilliantly written, that Isle of Dogs, the dialogue, the writing, it's complex. And the animation is creative. It is extremely creative, with that Wes Anderson, you know, like puppety kind of animation that they got going on. Visually, it's very nice to look at. But the story behind Isle of Dogs is great. You know, it's easily one of the better stories. I'm surprised that it wasn't nominated for, you know, best screenplay. And I hope I'm correct on that, because it'd be really silly if it actually was. I don't think it was.
Hey man, we're human. You know, things happen. Yeah. So if we're wrong, we'll correct it. We'll let people know. The internet's a great thing. We can always look it up, right? But if we make a mistake, you know, our listeners are pretty forgiving. Hey, we can always blame it on lack of sleep, right? Exactly. We are dads.
Exactly. That's my go-to. But you know,
so what are your takes on the other ones? You know, obviously we've talked about those two. What are your takes on the other two? And why do you think Spider-Man, you know, I kind of mentioned mm-hmm. why I always think a superhero movie, especially now that it's an animated movie, it's a sure bet. People love it. There's no anywhere you go, they love it. I'm not a huge superhero person, but I've seen them, and there's a few that I've seen and I enjoy. So I am probably the least biggest fan. Like, I haven't seen Thor Ragnarok. I haven't seen the X-Men movie. I haven't done that stuff.
And how many times have we talked about Thor Ragnarok on the cast?
I know you guys have. I have not turned it on. I will watch it eventually. But I'm not that guy. But I know it can mm-hmm. be intriguing. If somebody said, hey, let's go to the movies and go see, let's say Thor Ragnarok was playing at the Dollar Show. Let's go see it, you know, get away for an hour. Do you want to see that, or do you want to go see this crazy slapstick, you know, date night comedy? No, I'd probably go see Thor Ragnarok. So that's how I know that I know if I'm going into a superhero movie, it may not be the best and it may not be my favorite, but it's going to be done well. I'm either going to see hear some great sound while watching it visually. I'm going to see some great cinematography, or I'm going to see a couple breakout young actors on there that are going to be huge in the next 2 years.
Yeah, definitely. That's always when it comes to the superhero movies. And the two that I definitely want to talk about, which is The Incredibles 2, and you had mentioned the sequel thing. And just to touch on a little bit of all of our topics, I did love The Incredibles 2. It is easily, it's up there. It's one of my favorites. It was very close to being, you know, in my top three. But I went with the original. And the original Incredibles is in my top three, for sure. I feel like with all the superhero movies that are out there and that have been out there and that are going to continue to come out there, whether it's through Marvel or DC's new streaming service that has Doom and a couple other, you know, shows that are coming out. It's original, in my opinion, to have like a superhero animated movie from, you know, Disney Pixar, where there's no real, you know, it's just no real connection to comics, but it just feeds off of all of that. So the originality of it is why I loved the first Incredibles. And that's definitely one that's on my top three. But switching over to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, that movie is my hands down favorite to take home the Oscar because it is extremely well written. It is extremely diverse. The animation and the visuals, along with how well they edit the sound effects and the music to it, it's as if you're watching a huge production of Marvel Avengers. You know, it the sound editing and that kind of creativity that they use for that, and the music, and just the way they shot it, and the way, you know, the way they did the animation shots, it's just, it's beautifully done. And because they took such a cinematic angle towards that, towards an animated movie, that's easily why I think it should be the one that takes it home. Usually those animated movies, they're straight to DVD and they're very popular. Like, they've done superhero movies that are animated like that, where they do the whole Superman dies comic, you know, the famous Superman comic where he passes away in that one. They did like a animated movie for it, or the one where the Joker kind of kills Batman or something along those lines. And those, they get a lot of cult attention and a lot of people like it. But this one I felt was just easily across the board for everybody. And it's because how they shot it and how they thought of everything. They really shot it like as if it was a huge big time production, and it shows.
Gotcha. Well, it'll be something that I have to definitely check out and watch too then. Because, you know, that one and Isle of Dogs are two that I definitely will hit on, yeah, and check out. I have seen most of the Incredibles 2. Well, I've seen Incredibles 2, but I've seen it with my daughter. So it's one of those things where I haven't sat down and seen it, but I have seen it. So it's one of those things, it's like, it's not my first go-to right now to go and watch and sit down after the kids are in bed, because I've probably seen it while they're up. So, you know, it's content that I'm not there yet for, but it is a great movie from what, you know, the things that I have seen it, but I haven't seen it maybe cohesively enough yet.
Right.
But it is a great movie. And I could see where it would stand strong too as well. And I definitely will check out Spider-Man, just because I know that you guys, and you and especially Mike too, all talk about the superhero stuff. So I got to get on that wagon and and watch some of it and give it a little bit more of a try. But this is a good place for us to take a short break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can find us on their app, which you can get at the Google Play Store and the iTunes Store. And stick around at the end of this episode and hear about another great podcast from the Parents On Demand Network that, if you love the Dad Experience, we're sure you're going to like. So more after the break with Jorge. We're going to do more Dad TV. We're going to talk about a little bit about our favorite animated films and maybe tie in some more of that Oscar talk. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. It is Dad TV here with Jorge. We're talking, it's that time of the year. We're talking Oscar nominations. We're actually talking animated Oscar nominations. And we're also talking our three favorite animated, straight up animated films. We didn't put a ton of limits on this. It can be a Pixar. It can be drawn in animation, old school animation. So we've talked a little bit about it. Jorge has talked about one of his choices. You said Incredibles 2 was on your, or Incredibles 1 was on your list.
Yeah, Incredibles 1's on my list. Yeah. Incredibles 2, Incredibles 1 didn't is on make his the list. Cut. Close, though.
All right, close. Incredibles 2 didn't make the cut, but close. So we've got his first one. I guess I will kick it off here. One of my top movies, being a music guy and loving the classic, you know, format of Disney, and I like Disney. I'm not like sold on everything Disney, but there are a few that I really, really enjoy from Disney. And one of those from Disney is Aladdin. I love Aladdin. I've seen the stage show recently, which was done really well as well. I like the music. I like the story. I do like that they started to give a little bit more independence to the female character rather than always like, they're falling asleep and you have to kiss them to wake them up and they find the man and then they all live happily ever after. At least it was kind of a start in this one where she's like, no, I'm not going to stick to the traditional norms. I want to pick the guy I want to marry. It wasn't totally non, you know, gender based, but I think it was a start to that. And who could go wrong with Robin, the late great Robin Williams as the genie? I don't think anybody will do him justice. I don't think Will Smith is going to do him justice. I will go see the movie, but I think that the I don't think that the live action movie is going to really be able to hold a candle with Robin Williams being gone and not being that character. Because even when I saw it on stage, I kept going, wow, that guy totally stole Robin Williams, and that's why it was awesome. It wasn't like that guy made his own part and it was awesome. It was, wow, they took a lot of the Robin Williams stuff and kept it and then made it their own. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little worried about that in that case. But Aladdin, hands down, one of my top three favorite animated films.
That's awesome. And I love Aladdin. I think that's easily, that would be up there with me. And, you know, if we were doing like a top five, I think it would definitely make the cut. And I agree. I don't think the live action, although I think it can be very well done, I'm not sold on, you know, the Will Smith doing the character. I know he's an excellent actor and I think he could do very well, but it's not on him. That Robin Williams is really associated with the genie character. He did it so well, and the voice and the music, you know, his song Friend Like Me was just one of my kids' favorites for a very long time. And I think unfortunately with his, you know, with his passing, and, you know, Disney seems to be kind of veering away and disassociating the genie character with Robin Williams a little bit. The song, I can't find it sung by him anymore on any of the digital albums.
Really?
We listen to Disney songs in the car, you know, and we'll be doing that on Thursday when we're heading up there to go for the weekend to Disney. And his song is no longer on there. They use the Broadway version versus his version. And I think it's unfortunate. I can understand why. It's a tough issue about his passing. But that is kind of the world we live in. And sometimes we have to tackle tough issues with our kids, you know. And
yeah, I don't think hiding, and this is a, I guess I'm going to call out Disney now. Hopefully I don't get in trouble. But I don't think that that's the answer. I'm not going to lie. It kind of makes me, I didn't even know that. I guess I haven't paid attention. But that really kind of makes me mad because they're doing a disservice. I think they're just saying that this is not okay to share and it's not okay. Yes, our kids are young and there's a time and a place and us as parents should be the ones doing that. But, you know, that breaks my heart a little bit. And that's, I guess, a topic for a different episode. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So why don't you hit us with your second
movie? Sure. I think that we should definitely jump into that one. My second movie, I'm going to have to go with one of my personal favorites. And it's because I love this actor who did the voice for this character. I fell in love with the concept behind this character. And that would be Kung Fu Panda. Nice. I just completely dig the great voice acting from Jack Black when it comes to the panda that can continually take the hits and to the point where, you know, getting punched in the stomach makes him laugh. And his spirit behind, you know, just his way of looking at life and him being not what you would call the chosen Kung Fu dragon warrior, but it turns out that he still was. I mean, that movie for me, not only did everybody in my, you know, college days say that I looked exactly like Jack Black. So when that movie came out, I was just like, yes, that is me. It's not Jack Black. I did the voice. So it's just one of those movies, a lot of fun. The martial arts behind it, and Kung Fu, and the Zen that it takes to have that kind of mentality and overcoming pretty much all odds, even though you may not fit the mold of what a dragon warrior is supposed to look like, doesn't mean you can't be. So I love that. I thought it was a great, fun movie, visually very well done and extremely comical. A lot of little jokes that he would sneak in there that you maybe not catch the first time, you know, you see it. You'd have to watch it a few times and be like, oh, he just slipped a little adult joke there under his breath that nobody really is supposed to hear, but that was pretty funny. So that's definitely one of my top threes.
No, it's a great choice. And, you know, nothing beats a good underdog story that has a great, you know, kind of undertones to it. That's like the underdog is the guy that's always the one that's kind of picked on, and mm-hmm. your stereotypical person that gets picked on to win. So, no, great choice. I totally, honestly, until you said something, I forgot about that one. I did see that one when it came out, loved it. Still like it to this day. And my daughter still likes to watch that every now and then, and we'll ask for that at times. So great choice.
My kids will jump as soon if that pops on. My kids run to the back to grab their Kung Fu Ninja outfits. And they're like, can we put them on? Can we play dress up? I'm like, let's go. Let's, you know, pretend to break some boards or something.
So I guess we'll go into my second one. And my second one here is going to be another, mine are Disney. Just going to tell you right now. And my second one here is going to be The Lion King. Again, music guy here. Love the music. Love the voices in it. You know, again, I think a lot of that stuff is going to be tough to duplicate in the live action. I think it might be a little bit easier in The Lion King than Aladdin. But I still think it's going to be tough. The music's amazing. The storyline is great. It tells a story of loss, like a lot of Disney ones movies do. It does it well. It talks about finding your way back home, and, you know, finding the people that you love, and people that you can find along the way that accept you for who you are. It's a great film. It's a great feel good movie. Good music. Classic, stands the test of time. Still kids, you know, young kids now, you say Lion King or sing a line from that movie, they know. And that doesn't always stand true to everything else. So great, great film. If you haven't seen it with the kids, or you haven't seen it yourself, go out and check The Lion King out. And that is my number two.
I got to say, that's a great one. And I would have to say, I think you might have stole that one off my list. But that's okay, because I'm a huge movie buff. My list is ever changing. really, for me, you being a music guy, me being very inspired through writing, I felt like The Lion King was very Shakespearean, the story behind it. It just kind of reminds me of, you know, old school Shakespeare plays, the betrayal of the brother and the whole concept, and who's easily one of my favorite voice acting, aside from, I would put Robin Williams up there for the genie, and I would put Jeremy Irons up there for Scar. The voice acting there for Scar, hands down, one of the best that I've ever heard. So definitely love The Lion King.
Yeah, great film. Great, great one. And I am looking forward to the live action, but we'll see. Again, it's hard for me to accept those as they come out. And maybe they'll wow me with all the new technology out there. So hit us up with your number. What you were on, your number three.
Yes,
hit us up
sir.
With your number three.
All right. So I guess now I have a feeling that I had one, but I think it might be your number three. So I'm going to switch it up right on the spot here. Because if you're going with your number three, that what I think it is, it covers old school Pixar, or, you know, the first ever Pixar. I'm going to go with something relatively new and a little bit different, and it's going to be Inside Out.
All right.
Now I say Inside Out because we're parents. We're all here talking about different techniques, and there's no wrong way to do it. And Inside Out tells this amazing story about the feelings, you know, that kids have inside them, not just kids, but all of us. And the classic story of, you know, happy and having to always stay positive, and then kind of sadness comes in, and you have anger and disgust and fear, and how important it is for kids to understand that it's okay to be sad. It's actually not a bad thing. And the movie is very well animated. The story of it is very complex, in my opinion, because you're talking about the inner feelings and emotions that are, you know, in your mind. That's like Disney Inception. You're really delving in there, if you ask me. I recommend seeing it. Definitely watch it with your kids. It's great for everybody. It's good for the soul. It's good for the soul for you and for your kids and everybody, you know, to be open about those kinds of things, and understanding, you know, that there's times to be happy. There's times that it's okay to be sad. It's okay to show a little, to be fearful of something. It's all right to be angry. And kids have those blow-ups. You know, we got to remember that's just their anger feeling that's completely lost it. They can't hear you anymore. As much as you try to rationalize, they just can't hear you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's a good story too. It's almost a two stories in one. You've got an outside story that's going on, and the inside story kind of has its own thing as they're moving forward, and it interacts with the outside world. But there's like almost two plot lines to that movie that kind of they intersect and dissect and just go all over and twist and turn and weave. And
yeah,
it is a great film, and it does teach a lot about delving deeper into the emotion and psyche of us as human beings. So it's a great one, definitely an honorable mention for me as well. And I guess, you know, we'll follow up with my third one, which I guess I'm gonna just make the statement and say, you know, Toy Story, but I'm gonna call them all because I can. And you know, there's some that are stronger than others, but I feel like that is as new ones come out, it just becomes stronger and stronger. I don't know if they wait the right amount of time. I don't know if they continue to get the same actors back for the voices, which is important. There's a lot of things I think that are in the water to make it a successful movie year, you know, sequel after sequel. But definitely, I'm not going to lie, at the end of most of those movies, you got me tears in my eyes, remembering my childhood. And there's something to be said about nostalgia as from your childhood, but also sharing and seeing it kind of through your kids' eyes too. So it can be taken in twofold. You can go on memory lane trip if you're watching it, or you can just get excited about how excited kids get with toys and everything that every kid wonders when you are very little, do my toys do something when I'm not around? Everybody's done it. Everybody did it when you were kids. You know, you always secretly wanted that to happen even before the Toy Story movies came out. And you know, it's just a great magical world that you can slip off into. And I think they've done a great job with all of them. And I'm excited to see another one. And hopefully that will stand against the other three that are out right now. And just very excited about that one, the new one, and just really loved the original ones. And we're kind of getting through them slowly with my oldest daughter, and she's digging them as well. So that would be my top one, I think, on that list.
Yeah, definitely. And it stands the test of time. I mean, we tend to forget that. I mean, Toy Story, the first one, was in 1995. Okay.
That's a while ago.
Yeah. And then Toy Story 2 followed up before the 2000 shift, you know, in 99. And then the big one really was Toy Story 3 that I think brought it back, because Toy Story 3 was 10 years after the second one.
Right.
So that I think has just carried a new wave, you know, into everything. You have the new land and the new park. Well, not park, but the new section in Disney that's all Toy Story driven. My kids are extremely excited to go see that. And I love Toy Story. And if you're into documentaries and, you know, you're constantly watching all these animated movies and you're like, geez, you know, how do they come up with all these stories? There's an excellent, excellent documentary on Netflix. I believe it's called The Pixar Story. And it talks about the one lunch. It was just one lunch meeting with the first few guys of Pixar and John Lasseter and Stanton and all these guys that just wrote down these little ideas on a napkin, which was, you know, what would the world look like if toys could talk? What would the world look like through the eyes of fish? What would the world look like if, you know, there was an entire world of monsters in the closet, hiding in the closet? And that just sprung basically all these different Pixar movies. And it all came from just one little lunch meeting where they just started asking why or how or what would this be or what if questions. Great little documentary. If any parent is out there that wants to check it out. But no, Adam,
it's on my list. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. I have to ask you one thing though. First, Toy Story 4, are you deathly afraid as I am? Because now from the trailer, it looks like some of the arts and crafts are coming.
You know, I didn't.
My kids have so many on the wall that I'm worried that those are going to start moving.
I didn't even think of that, and I haven't noticed that. Something you definitely noticed, but hey, I'm gonna be watching that. And now that you say it, I'm probably gonna be like, yes, I'm deathly afraid. But you know, I can't wait to see that one, and hopefully my kids will be old enough at that point when that comes out that maybe I can take my oldest. But who knows? But I think this is a good point for us to to cut back. I know we didn't get to that topic on taking our kids to the movies. We can touch on that on one of our next episodes, which I think will be a great topic to talk about when and how and all the great things that go into making that family outing to the movies. So we'll get that one on the next Dad TV episode. We just want to reach out and say thank you to Jorge for joining us. Jorge, how can folks find you?
Thank you guys for tuning in. And you guys can find me on my Instagram at Dad of Moya. And if you're curious to see what I am up to and what I'm doing with work, you can always check out my production company at 90 Miles Media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Awesome.
So tune in for this weekend. Also, we will be heading up to Disney World for a nice little outing and family trip to celebrate a few birthdays, take the little 2-month-old. And so definitely follow me at Dad of Moya, and you can see what we're up to and see all the little shenanigans and hidden Mickeys that we like to find.
Well, we'll be definitely following you, and I'm sure our listeners will too. That's always a good time, and I can't wait to do that with my kids soon. But don't forget to stick around to the end of the episode to hear about another podcast from the Parents On Demand Network. Don't forget that app. You can get the Parents On Demand Network app at iTunes or at the Google Play Store. And email us if you have a question for Jorge, or you have a question for us, or you're a past guest, or you have an idea for the show, or you want to be on the show. Email us, experienceanddad@gmail.com. Thanks to all the folks that have already been writing and wanting to come on the show, and we will get back to you, and we're slowly getting through them, but we will get back to everybody as soon as we can. And follow us on Instagram, where we're the most active, the Dad Experience Podcast, which you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We have a page. Find us on all those platforms. And again, thanks so much, and we enjoyed having you on this episode of Dad TV, and thanks for listening to the Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents On Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.